Our scripture this morning is taken from Genesis, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 7, 15 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, our way in the wilderness, guide us by your word through these 40 days and minister to us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be reformed, restored, and renewed through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There is a scene in the Disney movie, The Lion King, where the great father Mufasa lifts his son Simba to the heavenly skies and speaks these words to him. "Look to the stars. The great kings of the past look down on us from the stars. So that when you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so will I." Now, I find these words to be beautiful, and especially so because they are spoken in the beautiful voice of James Earl Jones. I feel assured that the movie writers may not have researched Genesis 17 to create the words for this movie, but they are similar to the promise God made to Abraham and Sarah. Look to the stars, that they will give rise to nations and kings of peoples will come from them. I am particularly struck by the words, "Look to the stars." God made a promise to Abraham, and we see it in Genesis 15:5. "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That is how many descendants you will have." Place a note here, for God spoke these words to Abraham when he was 75 years old. Based on research by the Yale Astronomy Laboratory, we can roughly see 9,000 stars in the sky from the earth. That seems like a large number to me. But if we ask how many stars there are in the universe, there is something like 100 octillions. Yes, 100 octillion. That is one with 29 zeros. It seems the future will be filled with descendants of Abraham, in light of the major religions claiming him as their father. God indeed is eternal. Today's text picks up 25 years later, and there are no children and no descendants by Sarah and Abraham. Much has occurred in the in-between years. Abraham has left his home and security for a foreign land. He has misrepresented himself and Sarah with the Pharaoh. He's risked his reputation, his life, and his future. And he's fathered with Hagar a son, Ishmael, whom he loved dearly. So there were some ups and downs in those years. They made mistakes. They laughed at our Almighty God, but they stayed the course with God. They never looked back at the idol gods from their previous lives. He risked it all to fully trust and walk with God, even when there was no evidence of what God had promised. At 99 and 90 years of age, they are living in the twilight of their lives. Their age alone has caused them to move to a slower life. They are now more reflective, more contemplative, and more aware of the places they had been, more aware of the blessings and the sacrifices they had made, and seeing far less before them than what stretched behind them. All of which is appropriate for this Lenten season. Sometimes we need a slower tempo, a place where we can listen and pray heartfelt prayers, confess our sins, and turn toward God before we become aware of God's endless presence in our lives. I prayerfully lift up three gifts from this story. Remember, God seeks after us. Have an unwavering faith and walk with God. This reading follows God's encounter with Noah and the destruction of the earth and his people. God made a covenant with Noah to never destroy the earth again with rain. Now, God is making a covenant with Abraham and Sarah, of which nations will come from. Yes, he is restoring and reconciling with humanity by establishing a people that will love him. God's covenant with this aged couple promises much more than their eyes can see, for theirs and our visions are limited in scope and in time. Through Abraham and Sarah's lineage, we find Christ, who causes us to be together in this very moment and in this time and space. This thought of a covenant was something that Abraham would have recognized. And it shows a change or transformation in their relationship with God. Somewhat similar in respects when we change our names in marriage. Not only did Abraham and Sarah's names change, but this is the first time we see God's name change, El Shaddai, meaning God Almighty. This is the God Almighty who created the universe out of chaos and void. The God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth. The God Almighty who created the highest mountains and the lowest valleys in all creation. The change in Abraham and Sarah's names reflect their character and destiny. In their case, the two have been blessed by God and their destiny is guaranteed. God did with them what looked like was impossible. They are the ancestors of nations, their heirs more numerous than the stars in the sky, and kings came from them. My beloved brothers and sisters, this is our God. This is the God who seeks after us and forever abides with us. I wish I could stand before you and say, because of our relationship with God, everything is going to be perfect. Life is going to be a bed of roses every day. My friends, it's not. In this life, we will encounter willing and unwilling sacrifices. As a parent, it feels to me Abraham's greatest sacrifice was the loss of Ishmael. But he still trusts God. We may set out with beautiful plans for our lives, but in the end, the greatest plans for our lives lies with God's plans. I cannot count the plans I made, and God had plans otherwise. But there are sacrifices that I've made that generated a closeness with God that is indescribable. As we seek a closer walk with God and consider making sacrifices with our body, mind, and spirit, may we be forever reminded of the one sacrifice made by Jesus Christ, who gave up his life so that we all would have salvation and everlasting life. Lastly, in this covenant relationship, God commanded Abraham in Genesis 17:1 to walk before him and be blameless. The Hebrew word is tamimim, which means complete, whole, entire, without blemish or undefiled. God is not talking about being sinless or being perfect. This is the same word God used when he instructed Israel in their sacrifices. They were to bring an animal without blemish. We also note that this obedience of Abraham is not something he must do in order to earn God's favor. Rather, it is the appropriate response to God's grace that has sought after Abraham and chose to bless him. His obedience is to be a heartfelt response to God's grace, not a means by which to earn it. To walk blameless with God could be God encouraging him to keep moving. Keep moving forward with me. Don't give up on the promise. Even as the years pass and the body ages, keep walking with me, walking before me. Abraham was walking without all the answers for most of his life of faith. He had to decide for himself how to follow the path of faith. And sometimes he got it wrong. He messed up. But he kept on walking with God. And maybe we, with all of our brokenness, that's how we walk with God, albeit fits and starts. But in spite of it all, when in doubt, when things seem impossible, when we can't see what is before us, this is what it means to keep the faith. We are in the second week of Lent, and the journey to the cross has just begun, and the drama of Holy Week is a long way off, and the glory of Easter is not even a shadow in the distance. We are invited to spend 40 days examining our relationship with God. It can be a daunting undertaking, and when done well, it can send us staggering with hurts, with all that we have done and left undone that leads to the undoing of God's kingdom. The good news is that we are followers of the Almighty God who forgives and brought the covenant with Abraham to fullness in Christ. We have a new name. We are disciples of Christ. Through God's extravagant grace, the covenant established with Abraham is open to all through the life of the church and the waters of baptism. We are God's people, and God is our God. May it be so. Amen.